glitches continue to affect the main Obamacare website, healthcare.gov, although it seems the sign-up process is improving. Now, as millions try to go online to sign up for health insurance or just learn more about what's offered, for the past week, they have had some difficulty with the process. This morning, we begin the hour with a closer look at how the Affordable Care Act is playing out in the field. We will diagnose the glitches, take a look at what's ahead, especially as the government shutdown continues, and take your calls. Here in studio, we welcome Nicole Helvey, a navigator with the Health Planning Council of Northeast Florida. She's one of the officials tasked with getting the word out about the Affordable Care Act. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning.
And joining us by phone, Elise Hugh. She's a reporter for NPR covering the intersection of technology and culture for NPR's various platforms. Elise Hugh, a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
And here's our question to callers this morning. Have you gone to the website healthcare.gov? Have you tried to sign up for insurance? Have you had trouble doing that? What are your questions about the rollout of the Affordable Care Act in this incredibly polarized political climate? And what is your reaction to the technical glitches? We have an in-depth segment to answer all of your questions right now. Give us a call. 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Send your emails to First Coast Connect at WJCT.org. Tweets to at Melissa N. Jax. We also welcome your comments on our Facebook page. So, Elise Hugh, you've been covering this for NPR. When the site launched October 1st, it essentially crashed. So many people went online to take a look or try to enroll. And continued glitches have been reported. The federal officials took the site down for a couple of days over the weekend to work on it. Where do things stand with healthcare.gov this morning?
So more people are getting through. There are still a lot of users who are hitting that online waiting room, which says sort of please wait. That is where the system is technologically putting people who want to sign up in queue so that if you just keep, essentially what it's saying is instead of crashing the site, you get this prettier interface that lets you wait until somebody's ready. So it's almost sort of the same way you would queue on hold if you're trying to get help on customer care. The Obama administration does remind everyone, of course, that if you can't get online, you can always call. So they've beefed up the call center support such that if the technology has not been helpful for you, then there's somebody on the other end of the line now that can walk you all the way through the process from A to Z.
And how would you gauge the federal response to fixing these glitches? Of course, the federal government shutdown has overshadowed criticism of the rollout of healthcare.gov. Still, the Obama administration is taking some heat for the technical problems with the website.
What's interesting here is that it's not in the hands of the people who we are getting to talk to. So, you know, when I'm asking questions about this, I have to call HHS and I talk with people who work at HHS. But the real sort of work, the heavy lift of the technology here is being done by contract programmers. And those programmers are having to work really hard and, you know, actually do the work of this unprecedented technological system. However, there's a disconnect, or there's kind of a few layers between the people who are explaining the problem and the people who are actually fixing the problem. So it's really hard for us to know what exactly is happening on the back end of this system.
And the number to call the show this morning as we discuss the rollout of healthcare.gov is 549-2937. Nicole Helvey, you're a navigator here in North Florida, affiliated with the Health Planning Council. You've been tasked with going out into the community, signing up the uninsured, educating people about their health coverage options. How has the technical glitches, how have the technical glitches with the website affected your task, if at all? Or is your job more face-to-face work?
You know, certainly our team, certainly our team are going to be doing more face-to-face. You know, I've been charged with the last several weeks of actually building the program. So we have a dedicated program director that works, that's working for us. And we have a solid team of 9 navigators. So we have a total of 10 now. You know, I went through my certification as well so I could understand the program, but they're really going to be the ones that are going to be out in the field executing. You know, so far what we've seen in terms of the glitches on the system is it's hard to say whether it's increased the number of calls that we're receiving, but we believe it certainly is impacting the number of calls that we're receiving. So we did receive several phone calls last week, folks that were experiencing those issues. you know, wanted to know, did we have a different way to get in, or could we provide them with some assistance through that? You know, we were not able to get on last week either, and a number of our navigators are still waiting on their certifications from the state because there was this multi-step process that they have to go through after their training, and so we have a few yet that aren't able to provide that one-on-one assistance, but you know, it's certainly increased our call volume. We're getting several questions like that. It really hasn't, we haven't been able to have a successful enrollment yet with a client because we haven't been able to get down either.
That's got to be frustrating.
Not to a large degree. There's time. There's still time. We're still reassuring everyone. As long as they get in by that December 15 mark, their coverage is still going to start on January 1st along with everyone else. So it's not a race. It's okay. We're encouraging folks to take their time to review all of their options, think about it. And, you know, there will be the opportunity. We feel like within the next couple of weeks that the rush is going to slow down and everyone will have a much easier time in getting in. We're answering a lot of questions now. We're offering a lot of reassurances. And that's what we're moving forward with at this point.
Elise Hugh, a navigator, Nicole Helvey, is telling people interested in signing up to just be patient. How long would you estimate the window is for the Department of Health and Human Services to fix these problems and streamline the process? At what point will consumers start to really push back and say, I want to sign up for healthcare, but if I can't get through, I'll just throw up my hands and give up. How much pressure would you say is on them to streamline this in a timely manner?
I think the pressure is definitely on the administration politically, right? Because there were people who were already predicting that this was going to be a catastrophe. And technologically, it has definitely been a fiasco in a lot of different ways and on a lot of different fronts. However, if people really need health insurance and they want to buy health insurance, they will, right? And the Obama administration is counting on this sort of wider window, the fact that you have until December 15th if you want insurance to start by January 1st, to give them a little bit more runtime and the demand. So they keep pointing to demand over and over. There were 8.6 million visitors to healthcare.gov, the federal hub, in the first 3 days after launch. That doesn't count all the traffic to the state exchanges, and there's at least 16 states running their own exchanges. So the administration is saying, well, this demand actually points to the fact that a lot of people need it, and they're counting on people waiting. Now, the technology and user interface side of this will say, you know, if registration is hard, you know, if you have to go through a bunch of steps in order to register for things, whether that's, you know, a Facebook or a Twitter, like a social media platform, or, you know, any sort of kids camp or anything, that these forms, multi-step forms, will turn you off and you won't come back. What the administration has going for it is the fact that people are buying health insurance, and a lot of the people buying it are people who did not have access to it before. And so they're hoping that the demand, or the people who, you know, really want to do it, will be patient and get through this process.
And Nicole Helvey, as Elise pointed out, some state-run exchanges are proceeding. Florida, of course, does not have a state-run exchange. The legislature is opposed to the Affordable Care Act, declined to set one up. How does that affect your job in light of the fact that the state isn't really involved in this at all? That puts more of the onus on you, the navigators, doesn't it, to get the word out about this and sign people up?
To some degree, yeah. I mean, certainly we have a tremendous amount of community support through all of our partners and our stakeholders. And, you know, certainly even opportunities like this are a huge opportunity for us to get the word out. You know, we did spend some time, I think, early on dispelling some myths and kind of backtracking a little bit on some of the misinformation that's out there and some of the misperceptions. And so, you know, that was a little bit of a pre-campaign for us, getting the word out about, you know, what the facts truly are. And that's really what we're moving forward with. You know, at the end of the day, we're not here to defend or debate the law, but we are here to help consumers become informed about it, what their options are, so that they can make informed decisions regarding it.
And lots of calls, meanwhile, about the website healthcare.gov. Have you tried to go online and enroll? What are your thoughts and questions? 549-2937. Let's go to Sarah in Springfield this morning. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Melissa.
Go ahead.
Oh, hey, I was just wondering. My husband is active duty, and we have TRICARE. I was wondering if we had to do anything, or if our insurance was just us having insurance already. And if that is the case, then how is there a way that we can verify that we have insurance in order to not get a penalty?
Okay, thanks for the question, Sarah. And of course, lots of active duty military in this area might have similar questions. Nicole.
I mean, depending on exactly what your TRICARE benefits are, but it's our understanding, you know, most of, especially with our active servicemen and women, the benefits that they carry through the VA and through the military meet the essential health benefit requirements of the qualified health plans on the marketplace. So odds are you don't need to do anything additional to what you're doing now to maintain your current coverage. And there will be a place that you will indicate in on your tax return this next year that indicates what type of coverage that you have, and that should be all that you have to do.
And lots of calls for healthcare navigator Nicole Helvey and NPR technology reporter Elise Hugh as we discuss the rollout and the glitches at healthcare.gov. 549-2937. Let's try Jim in Jacksonville right now. Hi, Jim. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. And I just had a little quick comment, but I tried to get on and had to wait a little bit, but it didn't worry me that much. I'm confident that it will be fixed. I think maybe they underestimated the people who were going to call up and try to jam the line. That's my take on it. I mean, it might be cynical, but I think there are a lot of people out there with nothing to do that would love nothing more than just to jam it up and, hey, let's call, let's get online, whatever. But one last question, as far as comment, as far as Florida Kid Care and the Affordable Care Act, how will those two, is there anything with those two that if someone had children in the Florida Kid Care and then the Affordable Care Act, how would that affect them in Florida?
Okay, Jim, thanks for those comments. Let's begin with Elise Hugh. Elise, do you agree with Jim? Did the federal government underestimate the amount of traffic to the site?
Absolutely. The administration officials that we have spoken to have said they thought that there was going, or that we, at the reality of the traffic was a lot more than they expected. So after launch on Tuesday, the system wasn't able to manage that load. Now, the U.S. Chief Technology Officer, the Chief Technology Advisor to the President, Todd Park, said to USA Today over the weekend they expected 50,000 concurrent users, so 50,000 people hitting healthcare.gov at the same time. The reality last Tuesday when the site opened was 250,000 people, so five times greater than what system engineers had planned for.
And the question about Florida Kid Care, Nicole, what about that?
The eligibility and the parameters of Florida Kid Care haven't changed in Florida along with our Medicaid program. The application through the marketplace does also assess the family's eligibility of whether or not the kids should or can be enrolled in Florida Kid Care. So by filling out that single application, it'll come back, assess eligibility not only for marketplace subsidies, but for Medicaid and also the Florida Kid Care program.
So Jim, who just called us, I hope that answers your question. In the meantime, the lines are jammed this morning as we discuss the rollout of healthcare.gov. The federal government shutdown is now in its ninth day. The Affordable Care Act, the actual mechanics of it, has gotten less attention due to the shutdown, but this morning we're devoting some time to answering your questions at 549-2937. Paul in Orange Park is on the line with us. Good morning, Paul. How are things in Orange Park today?
Well, a little dreary, Melissa, but, you know, I've been here 38 years, so I'm kind of used to it. Great program, of course, as usual.
Thank you.
My question is more or less pedestrian. I'm calling to make sure that the actual premiums that I would pay underneath the Affordable Health Care Act will continue to be tax deductible.
All right. Thank you for that question, Paul. Nicole.
You know, the way that the act is written and implemented right now, it's the tax subsidies that are applied. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to as tax deductible. But those are set to continue for at least the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, the act rolls out into, I think, 2020. It's got provisions through. So, you know, my anticipation is if everything stays as it is today, I would anticipate that subsidy availability to continue. You know, we don't know what happens from year to year with our Congress, but
And lots of emails, tweets, Facebook comments about healthcare.gov this morning from one listener. Could the delay in Florida have something to do with your state? My friend in Michigan waited 10 minutes and was signed up immediately. Lots of calls about the technology as well. We do have on the line with us NPR technology reporter Elise Hugh. Let's go to Patrick on the east side. Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for your call. All right, Patrick, give us a call back. Chuck at the Beaches is with us. Hi, Chuck. How are you today?
I'm good, Melissa. I went online, and I surfed through everything for about 15 or 20 minutes, and it seemed extremely complicated. There were many, many places you could go. Questions, and there was different options for people who were married, who weren't married, who were living together but weren't married, who had kids but weren't married, and different things like that. So, yeah, I can't see how anybody could get through this without. You know, and I'm thinking there's people out there that aren't able to surf the web and look at this thing in that kind of a way. And so there's going to be a need for lots of navigators or CPAs, et cetera. And one of the things the caller said, they had so many hits they weren't anticipating. Comparison shopping. You have insurance, but you want to see what's out there.
Yeah.
So there's going to be people who comparison shop. And then my question for your journalist is, 2 days ago there was quite a bit of reporting from the administration on why they will not give us the numbers of how many people have signed up. We get a monthly report on unemployment, on housing. Why can't we have the numbers on how many people have signed up?
Thank you for all that, Chuck. Elise Hugh, lots to talk about with his call.
That's right. Well, Chuck, that was the same question I put to the administration as well. We'd like to know the numbers of actual enrollments because the states have been able to release that. So California, which is running its own exchange, New York, which has run its own exchange, has put out numbers on how many people have enrolled in health insurance under the new ACA health exchanges. The federal government will not. The administration's explanation is that they want to release these numbers monthly. So just as we get job numbers on, you know, the last Friday of each month, that we are going to, they're going to do the same thing with health sign-up numbers. That's dubious to a lot of Republicans on the House Energy. Republicans on the House Energy and Commerce Committee actually sent a letter to the HHS secretary on Tuesday demanding that she actually disclose exactly how many consumers have purchased health plans through these new exchanges. She has not responded yet, as far as I know. So this is something that a lot of people are pushing for, but we're not expected to see those numbers for at least another month.
Hmm. And do you think it'll take another month, Elise, for them to completely work out these glitches? The analogy I heard is it's sort of like trying to repair a plane while it's flying.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, right? They can't take down the site completely in order to really work on it for a long period of time. They've been able to take down the site overnight, during overnight hours over the weekend, and then overnight Monday going into Tuesday. And so that, I think, has been able to help expand capacity so that the pipes don't burst, if you will, like the technological pipes don't burst from the heavy load. However, this is such an unprecedented and complicated system that we may not see complete fixes ever. I mean, this could be a system that continues to have to be fixed. And that's normal. I mean, Twitter and Facebook and all these big companies that run a lot of servers also continue to improve their systems. But the issue with this is, of course, that there are deadlines in order to sign up. So the programmers that I've talked to said to give this another couple of weeks, another month, it should run a lot more smoothly by then.
Harry on the north side. Hi, Harry. Thanks for holding. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your show. Two comments. One, the first one, I am just glad, although I'm not participating because we have coverage through employment, I am very happy that we have a leader that is at least willing to take an area that we need to improve our economy and our healthcare system in. And because a lot of people are, you know, there are a lot of negative against them, but at least someone's taking a stand to try to fix the problem rather than delaying it. But my question really is, can you explain to the audience the difference between those states that participated and those that did not? The reason being, I think that's a big difference because I have several friends in California who have signed up, and they insist it was not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, unless we just gravitate to the negative, that we don't understand that the deadline's not until the first of the year. There's no hurry now. And I think we've just become impatient and so used to looking for the flaw in everything that we fail to see the goodness in this. So could you explain the difference between those states that did not participate and those that did?
Sure. First, with Nicole, Florida has no state-run exchange. That makes it more difficult in Florida, doesn't it, to sign up for health insurance?
Wouldn't say that it makes it necessarily more difficult. So we were a state that elected not to build our own exchange along with 35 other states. You know, I think the one thing that it does create is that this is obviously the biggest exchange that had to be created because it is facilitating for 36 states versus running just for each state at a time. And then there's also those additional connections that needed to occur between existing state systems, for example, our Kid Care and our Medicaid program, to interface with the national exchange. So, you know, I don't know that it really made it any more difficult. It certainly is part of a larger project, so inherently that might have been more difficult.
Elise Hugh, do you agree?
Well, a lot of states had a lot more runtime because they decided early on, so their political leaders, their lawmakers decided early on, we are going to build our own exchange and facilitate this on our own, which means that those states were able to pick their own contractors, work with their own system, maybe have more runtime for programming and for testing. And so, and states further also have experience running enrollment, right? They do enrollment for Medicaid, which the federal government doesn't do. And so that's the reason why a lot of these state-run exchanges are running a lot more smoothly. Also, they're smaller. They're frankly smaller. And I think that was a really good point that Nicole made. And so just dealing with much less volume also helps. But I think the runtime and the experience with enrollment of some of a program like this really helped the states in getting off to a smoother start.
Let's go to Jeff on Amelia Island this morning. Hi, Jeff. Good morning. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hey, good morning. Yeah, well, I've been trying to get out of sight several times on my iPad. And, you know, never would you really get it to work. I would log in and then I created an account and then I'd end up at this blank page. So I've actually got a much older, desktop Mac that I tried it on yesterday. And, you know, something with the slow technology, I guess, of the old desktop Mac and the, whatever, who knows what kind of stuff they use to make this website, it agreed and it would actually work. It was extremely slow. It took me about an hour and a half to input all my family information and income information. You know, it asked me all these crazy defaults, like, is my 2-year-old daughter pregnant and all these other things.
I hope not.
Once I finally got through it, you know, I did the electronic signature, and then, you know, it spit me back out to this other, like, main menu type of thing or whatever, and then it said my application wasn't complete. So I, like, clicked on it to, like, you know, maybe in case I'd missed something. And then it wanted me to, like, do the whole thing over again. So it looks like that hour and a half that I spent was perhaps wasted or, you know, it doesn't look like it saved any of that information.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Jeff. Elise, is that a common problem?
We've heard all sorts of stories like that before, but it sounds like he got even farther in the program than many others who have been locked out before that. So the advice that I've heard from the folks that I've talked to at HHS is just be sure to call. The call center operators are staffed. They've beefed up that so that they can take you all the way through the registration process so that you can just kind of skip the technological hurdles right now.
Let's take one more call on this. It's Dave on the north side. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. Good morning. I've worked in IT for the past 30 years, and we have a saying in the business, software is never finished, only published. So the fact is that any major system rollout is going to have some glitches. That's just par for the course. What happens is, what the real key is, how does it serve the public in the long term? These are problems that will be fixed, I know that working in IT it's like chasing rabbits sometimes, but a new and complicated system is going to have some things that need to be worked out. That doesn't mean you throw the entire system out just because there are some problems. You fix the problems and you go on from there.
Dave, thanks for your call this morning. Lots of great callers today. Nicole Helvey, navigator for this whole rollout in North Florida. What's the way forward from here for your team?
You know, from here, we're definitely going to be reaching out into the community. We're just going to try to make ourselves available to answer, you know, these and all these types of questions that people have for us, either, you know, by phone. We're manning the phone banks as much as we can, and certainly out in locations. We have, or will have, all of our schedule of our locations available on our Northeast Florida Counts website, which is nefloridacounts.org. And we have a special section in there for the federal health care law, and that will have all the information, how to find a navigator, where we'll be, when we'll be, how to locate some of our partners. We certainly have a number of existing partners in the community as well that are either certified application counselors. Our federally qualified health centers are also educating and enrolling people, so we can make those referrals also.
And Elise Hugh, do you agree with Dave, who just called the show, that these glitches will be worked out, or do you see this as continuing to be a drag on the president's signature domestic legislative triumph?
I think Dave is right, and he's the engineer out of the four of us here. So these glitches are going to get worked out. Everything will work smoother, but the software is never technically complete, right? They will continue to work on it, and it will change and grow as needed over time.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Elise Hugh is a technology reporter for NPR. She was on the line from Washington. And Nicole Helvey is a navigator with the Health Planning Council of Northeast Florida. More about this on our website later today.